kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Isang magandang umaga ng Huwebes sa ating mga suking tagapakinig dito sa SBS Filipino. Unang araw ng Mayo taong 2025. Kumusta po mga kababayan? Panibagong buwan, panibagong mga kaganapan. Saan man kayong dako ng mundo naroroon, sa Pilipinas man o dito sa Australia, salamat sa inyong walang sawang pakikinig. Sa mga papasok sa trabaho, ingat-ingat lamang sa inyong pagbiyahe. Sa mga nasa bahay naman, nakikinig sa Digital TV Channel 302 o sa mga on the go lagi at nasa ating website, live din tayong mapapakinggan. Ganun din sa ating SBS Audio app. Salamat po sa mga nakapag-download na, at sa mga hindi pa naman nakakapag-download ay i-download nyo na po dahil libre lamang ito sa App Store o Google Play. At ganun din sa mga nakikinig sa atin sa iba't ibang streaming app gaya ng Spotify, YouTube o sa Listener. Maraming salamat po sa inyo at magandang Huwebes ng umaga sa inyo lahat. Samahan po ninyo ko, Annalyn Villata, hanggang alas 11 ng umaga dito sa ating programa, at kasama rin natin ang tuloy-tuloy ang pagkayod, ang naghatid ng mga balita mula Melbourne, Martin Tuanyo. Magandang umaga sa iyo, Martin!
Magandang umaga, Annalyn, at magandang umaga po sa lahat ng nakikinig sa atin ngayong Huwebes ng umaga dito lamang sa SBS Filipino.
Naku, Martin, alam natin sa Pilipinas ngayong araw na ito, Mayo 1, madalas nating marinig o popular yung Mayo 1 sa Pilipinas dahil ito ay Labor Day, kung saan holiday sa Pilipinas.
Tama ka dyan, no? Marami ang siguro mga nag-file na ng leave at susulitin na pati yung Biyernes, Sabado, Linggo para naman extended yung kanilang bakasyon siguro.
Oo, madalas yung sinasabi nila yung Biyernes ay ipit na araw. Pero sa ating programa, Martin, kung tayo ay tuloy sa ating pagkayod, tuloy-tuloy din naman ang mga kaganapan sa kampanya at eleksyon dito sa Australia. At mamaya nga ay hatid mo ang ating SBS Examines kung saan aalamin natin kung paano nakakaapekto ang reliyon sa pagdedesisyon ng mga botante sa kanilang pagboto.
Tama ka dyan, Annalyn. Mapapakinggan sa SBS Examines na episode ngayong araw ang kung ano ba ang epekto ng pananampalataya o relihiyon sa mga tao sa kanilang pagboto o pagdedesisyon para sa nalalapit na halalan, dahil yung halalan nga ay sa May 3 na sa Sabado.
Ayan, abangan natin yan mamaya-maya lamang. At sa ating Australia Explained naman, ay hatid natin kasama na si Sheila Joy Labrador. Aalamin naman natin ang mga dapat isaalang-alang kapag pumupunta sa emergency department ng ospital, particular kapag dala-dala ninyo ang mga batang anak o yung mga supling, lalo na sa panahon ng emergency. Ano-ano nga ba ang mga dapat asahan kapag ikaw ay nasa ED? At aalamin din natin ang detalye ng Multicultural Children's Festival na magaganap naman sa MacArthur sa Southwest Sydney. Dito yan sa New South Wales, na magaganap na yan sa araw ng Linggo. Pero nababanggit natin, Martin, itong emergency department at tampok natin sa ating Australia Explained at mga bata sa Multicultural Children's Festival. Napakahalaga na magkaroon din ng kaalaman sa first aid, hindi pa, dahil nga sa mga sitwasyon kung saan may emergency, dapat alam natin kung paano tayo tutugon, hindi ba?
Tama ka dyan, Annalyn, dahil kasi lalo na kung wala naman kailangan mo pang tumawag ng tulong, mahalagang mahalaga talaga na alam mo yung gagawin sa mismong sitwasyon ng emergency at yung mga tinatawag nga natin na first aid.
Ikaw ba, Martin, ay may kaalaman sa first aid? Dahil ako bilang nanay, sobrang nakikita ko kung gaano ka-importante na kahit paano marunong ka sa first aid.
Ako naman, hindi naman sa pagmamayabang, no, pero nung bata ako, parang 8 years old ako, pinasok ako ng mga magulang ko sa RCY, Red Cross Youth. So, nagkaroon ako ng ideya at nagkaroon ako ng exposure pagdating sa mga first aid na hanggang pinractice ko hanggang nag-high school. So, mga parang hanggang 16 years old. So, talagang ngayon, alam ko pa din siya, pero siguro yung mga basics na lang. At dahil kasi dito, nung napunta na ako sa Australia, di ba may mga ibang trabaho kasi dito na required ka mag-aral ng first aid, required ka magkaroon ng certificate. Kaya parang nare-refresh yung ganoong mga kaalaman.
Oo, tama ka dyan, Martin. Ano? At nabanggit mo yung Red Cross sa Pilipinas. Dito rin sa Australia, isa ang Australian Red Cross sa mga nagbibigay ng, sabi nga, ay training para ikaw ay matuto ng first aid. At syempre, napakarami pang mga iba pang mga ahensya. Kasama din dyan ang St. John Ambulance Australia sa mga nagbibigay ng first aid training. At dito nga, Martin, may datos tayo, konti lamang ito. Halos kalahati o 45% ng mga insidente na nasusugatan ng mga bata at kailangan dalhin sa ospital ay nangyayari sa loob ng bahay.
At sa nakalipas na taon lamang, Annalyn, ay 15 bata na edad 5 pababa ang nalunod sa Australia, na 2 sa 5 o 40% sa mga ito sa mga trahedyang iyon ay nangyayari sa backyard pool, at 1/4 o 27% ay sa bathtub.
Nako, napakahalaga na. Alam natin yung first aid, lalo na nga yan sa mga datos na ibinigay ay sa kapag naliligo sa bathtub, na napakakaraniwan para sa mga bata, ano, dahil na-enjoy nila kapag yes, naglalaro sila sa bathtub. Pero Martin, tumaas din ng 30% ang bilang ng mga pagkalunod sa mga bata na 5 hanggang 14 ang edad sa kabuuan niya ng Australia. At ano nga bang, Martin, yung mga first aid na pwede nating malaman?
Ito unang-una, at siguro may karamihan naman sa atin alam yung CPR, o tinatawag natin na cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Ito yung ginagawa natin, o yung technique kapag sa tao, pag nalaman natin yung tao ay parang tumigil yung paghinga o wala tayong naramdamang pulso.
Oo, Martin, yan ay madalas na ginagawa sa ibabaw ng dibdib ng tao, ano? At
yes,
yan ay kailangan nga i-resuscitate mo ang kanyang paghinga. At ganun din, Martin, kapag nasugatan ng isang tao, paano linisin at kontrolin yung pagdugo kapag may malalim na sugat at lumabas ang dugo. Napakahalaga niyan para makontrol ang mga sugat, at kailangan dyan na magkaroon ng pressure para mahinto yung pagdugo sa particular na sugat.
Lalo din, meron din tayo, Adeline, kapag ito yung mga kapag nakalunok o nabarahan, ang lalamunan, ito yung mga tinatawag sa atin, ano bang tawag dito?
Yung parang, choking hazard.
Oo, yun yung tawag dito. Yung parang sa atin, di ba, nabulunan lang, pero ito ay serious situation siya na talaga namang nadadala sa peligro yung buhay ng isang tao.
Oo, kaya Martin, napakahalaga dito yung kaalaman nga sa first aid, ano? At para dun sa mga gustong mag-aral pa o lalong pagtibayin yung kanilang kaalaman sa first aid, may mga training nga na available. Hanapin lamang yan sa kanya-kanyang mga estado, kasama dyan ng St. John Ambulance Australia at ganun din ang Australian Red Cross. At Martin, alam ko ikaw ay magbabalik bukas. Ano mga dapat abangan mula sa'yo?
Tayo ay magbabalik bukas, Biyernes, para sa programa, at syempre meron pa rin tayong ihahatid para sa nalalapit na federal na halalan na hatid ng SBS Examines. Magsama-sama tayo muli bukas alas 10 ng umaga. Maraming salamat, Annalyn.
Maraming salamat sa iyo, Martin Tuanyo, at susunod na sa ating programa. Paano nga ba nakaka-apekto ang reliyon sa pagboto ng mga Australians? Alamin natin yan sa pagbabalik ng SBS Filipino. At kayo patuloy nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Andali Vulata pa rin po niyong kasama ngayong Webes, unang araw ng Mayo. At tuloy-tuloy tayo sa mga kaganapan kaugnay nga ng eleksyon, dahil para sa inyong kaalaman, nako, ilang araw na lamang at dalawang araw na lang bago ang mismong araw ng eleksyon dito sa Australia. Yan ay sa Sabado, May 3. Alam natin na marami tayong mga kababayan na nakapagsimula na o nakaboto na para sa early voting nga, ano, dahil iniiwasan nila yung medyo mahabang pila, o kung yung iba naman ay may mga gagawin din at may mga trabaho sa araw mismo ng eleksyon. Pero dito sa ating programa, alamin natin kung ano nga ba ang malaking epekto ng reliyon sa politika, lalo na sa mga komunidad ng migrante. Sa SBS Examines podcast episode na ito, ating mapapakinggan kung paano nakakaapekto sa ilang mga grupo ang kanilang pananampalataya sa pagboto. Hatid yan ang ating kasama na si Martin Tuanyo.
Ayon sa konstitusyon ng Australia, hiwalay ang simbahan at estado, pero hindi ibig sabihin nito na walang epekto ang paniniwalang panrelihiyon ng mga tao sa kanilang pagboto. Sa podcast episode na ito, titignan natin kung paano makakaapekto ang pananampalataya sa nalalapit na federal na halalan.
Australian politics has a complicated relationship with religion, and it's been like that for a long time, and every now and again that relationship kind of flares up.
Si Eleni Polos ay isang adjunct fellow sa Department of Politics and International Relations sa Macquarie University. Ang Australia ay isang bansang may iba't ibang relihiyon, kung saan pinakakaraniwan ang Kristyanismo, Islam, Hinduismo at Budismo ayon sa census noong 2021. Ngunit patuloy na dumarami ang bilang ng mga taong nagsasabing wala silang relihiyon.
So we're both religiously diverse and not religious at the same time.
So I'm Catholic, and I'd say I'm a very proud Christian as well.
Ang 22 taong gulang na si Calvin Biag ay nakatira at nagtatrabaho sa Western Sydney, isang lugar na kilala sa pagkakaroon ng mga taong may iba't ibang kultura.
We come from cultures and backgrounds that are heavily influenced by religion.
Dahil ang kanyang mga magulang ay mula sa Malta at Pilipinas, nakita ni Calvin kung paano naging konektado ang mga komunidad ng migrante at relihiyon. Naniniwala si Calvin sa paghihiwalay ng simbahan at estado, pero aminado siyang nakakaapekto pa rin ang kanyang pananampalataya sa mga polisiya na kanyang sinasang-ayunan o tinututulan.
I think first and foremost, it's important to focus on the issues that affect vulnerable people in circumstances where they can't stand up for themselves. So whether that's an unborn child or as someone who is elderly and can't physically talk or communicate on how they're acting or feeling, it's important for there to be voices out in the community to advocate best for them.
Si Eleni, na isang ordained Uniting Church minister, ay nagsasabing iniisip ng mga politiko na boboto ang mga tao batay sa tax breaks at ayuda sa gastos. Ngunit ayon sa kanya, hindi laging ganoon ang nangyayari.
But often people, I think more often in fact, are motivated by their values. I think people's religious beliefs do influence their vote, particularly from a values perspective.
I would say I do connect to our mosque, and I practice Islam.
Mula sa Afghanistan, si Mohib Iqbal ay naghanap ng asylum dito sa Australia at naging citizen noong 2017.
Islam to me is a personal and individual value and a pretty strong value. However, I don't bring that to politics in Australia. That said, I'm one person, and I think broader community, there are certain particular things that people do take into account.
Sinabi niya na ang hidwaan sa Israel at Palestine ay may epekto sa komunidad ng Muslim sa Australia.
To be honest, not only Muslim community, in broader Australian community that has asked for the end of the conflict, for a ceasefire, for a stop to the violence that is happening, the statistics of the, you know, people dying and children dying has had an impact on the politics, and I think will be very important for some people, at least in this election.
Si Gate Kramer naman ay ang national speaker para sa political group na Muslim Votes Matter.
We have issues of racism, Islamophobia, issues of religious freedom. Then we've got all the normal issues that, you know, most Australians are also interested in.
Anya, ang pinakamahalagang issue para sa komunidad ay ang kaguluhan sa Palestine.
The issue of Gaza and Palestine has been, without a shadow of doubt, a galvanizing issue for our community here. And it has superseded, if you like, any issue of diversity on other policy issues. It doesn't matter what we think individually on economic policy, for example. The response by this country to what is occurring over there, by the overwhelming majority of our community, is far more important.
Ayon kay Gate, ang isyong ito ang nagtutulak sa karamihan ng komunidad ng Muslim na bumoto ng magkakapareho sa buong bansa.
Those more left-leaning parties and candidates are the ones who are more closely aligning with our interests and policy priorities, and that's who we will support in this election.
Hihikayatin ng Muslim Votes Matter ang komunidad na bitawan ang anumang katapatan sa isang partikular na partidong pampolitika.
We will have a priority in terms of what our issues are, and we should support whatever political party or candidates best align with those issues.
Sang-ayon si Eleni na ang mga taong may partikular na pananampalataya ay hindi kailangang pareho sa mga partikular na partido.
Some are influenced to change their vote by how politicians and parties fall on the side of, you know, so-called morality issues like family issues, abortion issues, end-of-life issues.
Ang iba naman ay maaapektuhan hindi lamang sa relihiyon, kung hindi pati na rin ng ibang mga salik.
Some people will kind of focus in on an issue, but I think more Australians tend to think quite broadly about their vote, and a lot of things come into play, including their religious values.
Ang episode na ito ay mula sa SBS Examines na isinalin sa wikang Filipino. Para sa iba pang impormasyon, bisitahin ang sbs.com.au/sbsexamines. Martin Tuanyo, SBS Filipino.
Sa puntong ito naman, ang pagdala sa anak sa emergency department ay talagang nakaka-stress, lalo na kung siya ay may sakit o nasugatan. Mahabang paghihintay, pag-aalala kung kailan dapat pumunta at ang kaba na makita ang anak na hindi maayos, lahat ito ay mabigat para sa isang magulang. Pero malaking tulong kung alam mo na mga dapat asahan sa pagpunta sa ospital. Sa episode na ito, nagsanib pwersa ang Australia Explained at Learn English podcast para talakayin ng isang mahalagang paksa ang pag-unawa sa emergency departments ng mga ospital dito sa Australia. Ang detalye hatid ni Sheila Joy Labrador sa ating Australia Explained.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa Australia Explained, ang SBS audio podcast na gagabay sa inyong pamumuhay sa Australia.
Hindi madali para sa mga magulang kung may sakit ang anak. Pero kailan nga ba dapat dalhin sa emergency department o ED? At kailan mas okay na sa GP o sa urgent care clinic muna pumunta?
Last August, my daughter was really unwell. So she had really high fevers and they were going on for probably about 4 days at this stage. And we've been to the doctor and she was on antibiotics, but she just wasn't getting better. So she had really high fevers. She wasn't drinking. Like, I looked at her chest and she was working really hard. Her ribs were sucking in. I could see she was struggling. And that's when I knew, to go into emergency.
Tulad ng inang si Bethany Girling mula Sydney na dinala agad ang anak sa emergency department. Ayon kay Dr. Matthew O'Meara, isang pediatric emergency doctor sa Sydney Children's Hospital, dapat magtiwala ang mga magulang sa kanilang instinct.
That instinct can come from a number of things. Sometimes they might notice their child being less alert, less active, less playful. It may be that they've got breathing problems. It may be they look a poor colour. They look much paler than usual or mottled or a bit bluish. They may not be drinking very much or passing much urine. But sometimes it's just that gut feel, that instinct that something isn't right. And I'd very much encourage parents to trust that instinct.
Kung nag-aalala ka sa kalagayan ng anak mo, sabi ng doktor, gamitin ang mga healthcare services na available. Nandyan ang mga doktor at nurses na handang tumulong, lalo na kung hindi ka sigurado sa susunod na hakbang.
There's a few doors into the health system. The most urgent door is by calling 000 for an ambulance. And that I'd do if you're really concerned that your child needs help straight away, that they're finding it very difficult to breathe, that they're a very poor colour, that you think they've stopped breathing, or they're not conscious, or they're having a fit.
Kung ganun ang sitwasyon, payo nito, agad tumawag sa 000 para sa ambulansya, baka kasi kailanganin ng anak mo ng agarang tulong. Ang emergency department ang tamang lugar kung kailangan na talaga ng medical attention.
Or you could see if your GP or an urgent care clinic is available for them. And something soon is they might be having some difficulty breathing, but it's not severe. Their colour might be a bit off. They're not drinking as much as usual. They might be less active than they normally are, and you need something done soon. And then there's another group you go, something's not quite right, and I need to see them later today or tomorrow, in which case general practice or an urgent care center would be good options.
So ano nga ba ang susunod na mangyayari kapag nasa emergency department ka na? Ang unang hakbang ay sa triage. Dito tinitingnan agad ng nurse ang kalagayan ng bawat pasyente para malaman kung sino ang kailangang unahin base sa bigat ng sitwasyon. Ito ang ipinaliwanag ni Pamela Bold, ang Nurse Unit Manager sa Emergency Department ng Children's Hospital sa Westmead sa Sydney.
The triage person is a nurse and they are able to quickly look over your child and be able to assess their condition based on the urgency that they need to be seen. And then they're given a triage category based on that urgency. So the most critically unwell patients will be seen first and then the less urgent patients will then be seen in a timely manner.
Dagdag nito, ang triage ay nakabatay sa kung gaano ka-urgent o delikado ang kondisyon ng isang pasyente at ang mga pinakakritikal na kaso ang inuuna. Iba-iba ang assessment depende sa sitwasyon. Kasi may mga sakit o injury na mukhang simple pero pwedeng maging banta sa buhay. Kung may oras ka pa bago pumunta sa emergency, payo ng nurse na si Bold na ihanda na agad ang mga pangunahing detalye tulad ng impormasyon ng anak mo at medical history para mas mapadali ang proseso.
When you come into our emergency department, we really like it when parents have their Medicare card available or any health details available and their address and phone number so we can contact them if we need to.
Kasama sa health details ng anak mo ay kung may allergies ba ito, gamot na iniinom at pre-existing conditions. Mahalaga ring sabihin kung ano ang mga sintomas, kailan ito nagsimula, ano ang nagpapalala at kung may ginagawa kang treatment bago pumunta sa ospital. Ipinaliwanag ni Dr. Matthew O'Meara kung ano ang susunod na mangyayari kapag naproseso na ang kaso ng anak mo at siya ang susunod sa pila para tingnan ng doktor.
They'll be seen by other nurses and doctors or nurse practitioners who will assess them in more detail, go through the story in more detail, examine them, and work out if any investigations are necessary, like blood tests or x-rays, can assess their response to treatment.
Idinagdag pa nito, maaaring kailanganing obserbahan muna ang mga bata ng ilang oras bago magdesisyon tungkol sa kanilang treatment. Karamihan sa mga bata ay pinapauwi rin mula sa emergency department. Pero may iba na kailanganin pang i-admit sa ospital para sa extended care. Kung ang kaso ng anak mo ay itinuturing na hindi kasing urgent ng iba, maaaring kailanganin mong maghintay ng mas matagal. Pagtapos na ang pagbisita mo sa Children's Emergency Department, dapat may alam ka na tungkol sa kondisyon ng anak mo.
You should know what we think is wrong with your child, what the diagnosis is. We should tell you what you should expect to happen at home. We should tell you what things should make you concerned and need to seek medical help. We should tell you how to manage simple things like pain and fever and fluids.
Idinagdag pa ng doktor, may mga health practitioners sa emergency department na nagbibigay ng instruction tungkol sa mga gamot at treatments na ibibigay sa anak mo. Pati na ang mga epekto nito at mga posibleng side effects. Bibigyan ka rin nila ng payo kung saan ka pupunta kung kailanganin ng anak mo ng karagdagang pangangalaga pagkatapos umuwi mula sa emergency department.
And ideally, we don't just talk to you about these things. We give you written information in fact sheets and ideally in your preferred language as well to describe what's going on. And we should communicate with your normal treating doctor about what's going on. So send them a discharge summary or give you a discharge summary to take to your doctor.
Kung mas komportable ka sa ibang wika kaysa English, pwede kang tumawag sa 131450 para makakuha ng libreng interpreter na makatulong sa iyo para makipag-ugnayan sa mga health services. Ngayong alam mo na kung ano ang mga dapat asahan kapag kailanganin mong pumunta sa emergency department. Pero pwede mo ring pag-aralan ang mga English words at phrases na madalas gamitin sa ganitong sitwasyon. Kaya pakinggan ang SBS Learn English Episode 85 para mas gumaling ka sa English at mas maging kumpiyansa sa pakikipag-usap mo sa mga staff sa ospital. Para sa karagdagang impormasyon, bisitahin ang Health Direct o website ng iyong local hospital sa healthdirect.gov.au. Ang ulat na ito ay binuo ni Maram Ismail na isinalin sa ating wika. Ako si Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
Inyong napakinggan ang isang SBS audio podcast. Para sa iba pang nilalaman ng Australia Explained, bisitahin ang sbs.com.au/australiaexplained.
Maraming salamat sa iyo, Sheila Joy Labrador, para sa paghatid ng tampok na ulat na yan mula sa Australia Explained. At ganun din ang mga termino na maaring magamit kapag kayo ay pumupunta sa emergency department ng ospital. Maaari ding matunghayan sa Learn English. At sa pagbabalik naman natin, alamin natin itong Multicultural Children's Festival na magaganap sa bahagi ng Southwest Sydney sa pagbabalik ng SBS Filipino. Sa huling bahagi ng ating programa dito sa SBS Filipino, isang libreng community event ang magaganap sa ika-apat ng Mayo. Yan ay araw ng Linggo sa New South Wales, ang MacArthur Multicultural Children's Festival. Alamin natin ang detalye sa panayam ni Edinal Magtibay sa mga organizer ng naturang event.
Magandang araw at kasama po natin sa ating programa ngayon ang dalawang leader mula sa multicultural community na siya ring nasa likod ng napaka-exciting na MacArthur Multicultural Children's Festival na gaganapin ngayong May 4. Unahin na natin ang changemaker mula India at nagpasimula sa pagpapalabas ng Wizard of Oz sa buong mundo na may 5,000 performances na at ilang dekada nang tumutulong sa komunidad bilang bahagi ng kanyang advokasya. Tinigurian din siyang isa sa MacArthur's Most Influential People at Campbelltown Citizen of the Year at tuloy-tuloy ang kanyang mga community projects tulad ng Good Morning MacArthur at MacArthur Community Kitchen. Let's welcome Brian Laul.
Lovely to be here.
At syempre mula sa Filipino community, kasama naman natin ang isang fierce advocate para sa seniors, mga kabataan at cultural inclusion. Siya naman ang founder ng Care, Live, Smile at Nurture Next, tubong Baguio City at lumipat siya dito sa Australia noong 1991. At mula noon, tuloy-tuloy na ang kanyang mga community work. And she now sits on the board of the Multicultural Communities Council of New South Wales and also as an advisor for New South Wales Health. Welcome. Maraming salamat sa pagpunta, Ms. Rona Guzman.
Thanks for having us, Edinal.
Together, Brian and Rona are leading the Youth Amplified, isa siyang platform kung saan ang mga kabataan ang bida. At ngayon, sila rin ang nasa likod ng napaka-exciting na MacArthur Multicultural Children's Festival. But before we talk about the festival, alamin muna natin yung ilang mga bagay-bagay tungkol sa inyong dalawa, yung pamumuhay niyo dito sa Australia at yung inyong mga experiences bilang leader sa multicultural community. So unahin na kita, Rona. So you migrated from Baguio to Australia in the early 90s. Pwede mo bang i-share sa amin kumusta yung early days nung pagdating mo dito sa Australia and what was it like growing up and building a life in a new culture?
Thank you, Edinal. Very special. I'd be very honored to tell my story. So 1991, I was 8 years old. We moved here with my mum, my dad, and my sister, who was a little baby at the time. And we lived in the western suburbs. So Oakhurst was the very first area that we lived in with my auntie. And you know us Filipinos, we stick together when we're new here, and the aunties and uncles and other family members welcome us. So that is where I went to school. I spent my early years of school there and then went to high school in Blacktown.
Oh, okay.
We moved to Blacktown. And during those times, I guess throughout my childhood here, and as I moved on to my older years in high school, I was so blessed to have friends around me in school who were from different cultural backgrounds. So my best friend is from Bosnia. Mm. My other friend's from Lebanon. I had Turkish friends. So not just Filipinos. It was people from all over the world, from Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam. So at a very early age, I got to see how beautiful it is to be surrounded by diversity. So the food and the flavors, so and that sense of welcome. So after school, naturally, we go to each other's houses and the mums and the dads would have dishes cooked from their culture and I would be invited to taste. And so I was very fortunate to have that sense of welcome and being exposed to different flavors, different languages and different songs. I was singing Bosnian songs. So I guess I carried that through into my adulthood. And although I'm a City of Sydney resident, I'm still all over Sydney, going back to Western Sydney, working in the MacArthur area, meeting some incredible people like Brian, and just really spreading the love because I believe there shouldn't be any boundaries to community work.
Oh, that's really amazing. And yeah, as you've mentioned, I was about to say, no wonder why you're in this field right now, connecting people and very, very active in our community and other, the multicultural community as well. So thank you for sharing that, Rona. Now, Brian, of course, I have to ask you in English, but you've lived a life full of creativity and advocacy. So now, what was there a moment in your early years here in Australia that really shaped your path into community work?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I came here in 97. I spent Christmas of 97 in Sydney. And I guess I came almost like a tourist. I spent 6 months just discovering the place and meeting people and just walking around Sydney.
Right.
And then I was a journalist back in India for a long time of my life. But I came to Australia because I wanted to leave journalism behind and pursue a hobby, which was theatre for children.
Oh.
So I came here and wanted to book a theatre and do a show, which I had written.
How was it, like, staying and living your life here in Australia from 6 months and now decades? I mean, years and years, and you've been here now.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the place that much, and I guess I saw there was so much that could be done for young people here, not just in theatre, but in so many other aspects. So we opened our first show at North Sydney at the Independent Theatre. And I guess that was the defining moment because that's something which both Rona and me carry through our workshops for young people. And that's to tell them never to give up on their dream. Because when I walked into the theatre as a new migrant, they told me I could not book it.
Oh.
Because it was the Independent and I had no Australian experience. Besides that, they said, who would want to see a show written by some who's just come in? But anyway, cut a long story short, I booked the theatre and 5,000 performances around the world later of the Wizard of Oz show. Well, that's a journey and that's a message that we both carry to young people. So that was the defining moment, the time when they told me I could not do.
That's truly inspiring. No one can tell you otherwise. There are a lot of opportunities for you. And yeah, take it from Brian as well. So earlier, na-share nyo na yung iba't ibang experiences nyo, yung mga hinarap ninyo as young migrants growing up here in Australia. But how did those experiences influence the way you now build community spaces for others? Ano yung mga challenges, especially for children and youth?
I'll take it first. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. Look, I guess a challenge, if I go back in my younger years, was seeing that I was different. So when if I think back in my first few days in primary school, I spoke English, spoke it pretty well, but it was American English. Yeah. So obviously the meanings is the context is quite different. The little words we say, it's very, very different. So what I found funny was not funny. And people were laughing when I didn't think I was being funny. So I can go back and remember myself feeling really uncomfortable, being a young girl, uncomfortable, new place. So I guess that's a challenge. So I guess for me today, it's about regardless of who you are, regardless of how different you are, you have a voice and you matter. And I will give you absolute respect and I will listen because you have something really good to say. I won't laugh because you're different. I'll draw to understand and be really, really curious. And I know there's something there that I'm not seeing if I'm not sort of understanding it. So how can I continue on to be respectful and curious mm-hmm. about? So that's my approach. And that's early experience at school yes. had really, it really does shape in terms of how I work in community today.
Mm, no, absolutely. You. I'd second that, Rona, because I think we are different. Each one of us are different, but each one of us has a voice and each one of us has something to contribute to the fantastic tapestry that is so colorful and beautiful in multicultural Australia. And that's not just a word, multicultural. It's a being and it's a way of living. We come from different backgrounds as migrants and we bring richness and beauty to this whole picture. How can we contribute to that picture so that other people's voices are heard as well at a table, especially our young people? And I think that when you talk about challenges, Ednil, I think that is a challenge. A challenge because young people want their voices to be heard and they have a lot to say that matters to this country in today's set up. So I guess our challenge is to bring those voices to the table and to the corridors where decisions are made.
Oh, that's really something that we wanted to see in the future, in the near future. Since napapag-usapan natin yung challenges, ano, Australia is home to many cultures, especially maraming mga communities sa paligid natin. But do you feel that the multicultural representation here is strong enough?
Like I said earlier in the interview, it's a term well used and often well abused.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the powers that be should move to unite communities, not encourage division. If we all get together, like we were talking before, and we just celebrate together, just as Rona and me are doing with this festival, I think each one of us can make a difference in our little pocket, wherever we are.
That's
Let's
right.
just get friends together and celebrate and learn from each other and in our workspaces even. And yeah, I think then multiculturalism becomes a truth and it then becomes something we live, not talk.
Thank you so much for sharing that. But now let's talk about the Multicultural Children's Festival. Eto na. So, paano ba ito nagsimula? How did it all begin? And what inspired you to join and be part of this amazing event?
So we started this festival a few years ago. And I'm really happy to have Rona co-directing with me from this year. So we're setting it up bigger and more magical than ever before. And we've got over 50 community groups coming together on that day to celebrate.
How about you, Rona? What made you join this year as the director?
Yeah, look, I must highlight that, you know, Brian and his team at Rainbow Crossing and the committees involved in the past years have already been incredibly successful in drawing community in. And it really is about, you know, welcoming different people, different families from all over Sydney, no matter who they are and where they've come from. So for me, it's sort of, I'm an add-on, I'm complimenting and I'm learning as much from the team. Mm. And it's really combining, you know, strengths. Again, it's all about what we bring into each other, not about, you know, what's better, what's best. It's more about combining and really serving that to the community, being of service to the community. So I'm really, really excited. Lots of color and it's lots of flavors, lots of cultures. And what an honor to have a space for young people to be able to mingle with others who are different from them. And I think it's a great opportunity for young people to see themselves in the world.
True.
You know, playing such a part.
Yes.
Yeah. See themselves and learn something about other, you know, other cultures as
yeah.
well. I mean, I'm looking forward to learning stuff there.
This is happening on the 4th of May. Dahil weekend ito pagkatapos ng election, so May 4, it's a Sunday. What can families and kids naman look forward to at this year's festivals?
There's the usual stuff that goes with festivals.
Mm-hmm.
But the premise of this festival is also, I know when you take children to a festival, $50 doesn't last 5 seconds past the entrance gate.
True.
The premise of this festival is if you come with a gold coin in your pocket, you will feel no less privileged than somebody who's got $50 in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You will have activities you can enjoy for free. You can learn things for free. There's a passport that you can get and stamp it as you go to different countries around the place and learn something about them. There's fun on stage. So there's like cultural activities through the whole day mm-hmm. on stage. There's a cultural parade oh. at 1:30 for those who don't want to perform, but who just want to dress up and they feel proud of their background and their costumes. And they just want to bring that to the world. Come over and bring it. It's big. It's like marching bands and all the rest of it. So it's fun. There's the food stalls, yes. There's activities. There's a whole big inflatable world. Yeah, so we're just taking over. That park is going to be cultural park that day. Entry is free. So Sunday the 4th of May, 10:30 to 5 p.m., Koshigaya Park, Campbelltown. It's about a 3-minute walk from Campbelltown train station.
Thank you so much, Brian and Rana.
Thank you so much for having us here.
E-like, e-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.